MashaAllah, very beautiful rendition. These couplets of poetry that we listen to, one is Alhamdulillah, the beautiful tune with which it is recited, which is also appreciated. The Quran Sharif and the tilawat of the Quran Sharif also, it is appreciated when the reciter reads it in a melodious and a beautiful manner. It touches the heart. But more than the melody and the beautiful rendition is the profound meaning that is behind it. And these couplets of poetry, it is an entire waaz and nasiha, it is a complete bayan in itself. And may Allah Ta'ala grant it to us. But that person who has developed a level of mahabba in Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will experience such enjoyment listening to these couplets of poetry. And whoever it may be, may Allah Ta'ala bless us all with the mahabba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many years ago, when Allah Ta'ala gave the opportunity to go for Umrah, I was walking in front of the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and there were some Turkish brothers that were standing outside, and all of them were standing in a certain position, and the one person was reading some couplets in Arabic in praise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when we looked at all of them, they were all tearing. The thought crossed the mind is that we don't know which part of the world the lovers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reside, which person has got some level of love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and what kind of love. This is something that is an objective of Sharia, to develop the love for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it is extremely important to develop the love. When a person develops love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then his life becomes completely different. Now, listening to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, talks of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it has a complete different flavor to it. We hear people, you know, they say they are in different professions, in their different stages of their lives, they've gone through different professions. And how often we hear people saying that, I think I found the profession now that is for me. You ask the person why, he says, you know, I always had a passion for this. The one brother is now in the food industry. So I said, how's it going? He says, you know, this is my field. I'm really enjoying it. Because he's got a passion for food, so now being in that field, he's experiencing such enjoyment every day. Now going to work is no more really work. It's actually now he's going to enjoy himself, to discover, do something new. The person who develops a passion for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now going to the masjid, performing salah, opening the Quran Sharif and making tilawat, it's no more work now. It's actually the person finds an enjoyment in it. May Allah Ta'ala, I don't have it, but we make dua that Allah grants it to us. So here, Hazrat Shah Hakim, these were the couplets of Hazrat Shah Hakim Akhtar Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi. It was, these people were ashiks of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and whoever they may be. We're not only saying that my sheikh and this sheikh and only this sheikh. Hazrat himself used to say that kisi ahle dil ki sohbat jo mili kisi ko akhtar, kisi ahle dil ki sohbat jo mili kisi ko akhtar, usse aa gaya hai jeena, usse aa gaya hai marna. He says, oh akhtar, in whoever's hand a person will place, in whichever wali of Allah Ta'ala, the hand will be placed. That means any individual, if he has to place his hand in the hand of Ahle Dil, a person of heart. Now what is Ahle Dil? We also need to elaborate on that. We say that the person is Ahle Dil, means a person of heart. We're speaking about the qualities of the heart. So a person will say, but Maulana, a dog has also got a heart. Cats have also got hearts. But what is the difference? Why do you really call a person Ahle Dil? That heart that has got the love of Allah Ta'ala, that heart is really worthy of being called a heart. That heart that has got the Iman in it, that heart is really worthy of being called a heart. Otherwise a person can have a vault, expensive vault, and inside the vault he's got nothing inside. That vault is empty. So we'll say that vault is just a vault, it's not really worth much. But now if a person puts some gold inside, or the person puts some valuable diamond inside, one jeweler showed me one diamond, one point something million rand, one small stone, 1 point something million rand. Now if a person put that diamond inside that vault, now we will say this vault has become very expensive. But yet somebody can take that same vault and put one rotting corpse inside. The person can commit a murder and now he doesn't know where to hide the body, so he opens the vault and he stuffs the body inside. Now we will say that nobody is interested in this vault. He say, "You listen, I got a vault, it's got a rotting corpse inside, would you like to have it?" Person will say, "Brother, you just keep it there, just now the cops come and I get implicated in this crime, you rather keep the vault there, I don't want to have it." So both are the same vaults produced by the same company and both are, you know, adequate to be called vaults. But the one vault has got something priceless and valuable in it and the other has got rotting corpse. In the same way, that person who has got Iman, that person in whose heart is the Mahabba and the love of Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Ma'rifat of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, the Ishq of Allah Ta'ala, love for Salah, love for the Tilawat of the Quran Sharif, that heart now has become valuable. Ya Ahle Dil. This person is a person of heart. And now the other person in his heart, he's got kufr, he's got shirk, he's harboring ill feelings about Allah Ta'ala, you know, having bad thoughts about Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, not realizing that Allah is the one who controls the world and Allah can do as He pleases, when He pleases, how He pleases. And Allah Ta'ala, if I had to make sabr over this test that came upon me, Allah would have rewarded me immensely, rewarded me tremendously. And remember, whoever is being tested in whichever field, there are always people who are going through something worse. Sheikh Sadi Shirazi rahmatullahi said on one occasion, "I complained to my father, I didn't have shoes. So I complained to him, I didn't have shoes." So that day was the day of Jummah, we went to the Jami Masjid. So he said, "When I went for Jummah, I saw one person coming to the Masjid. He was walking on his knees, he didn't have his feet, his legs were amputated, he only had the stumps of his knees. And he was walking to the Masjid on his knees." He said, "From that day I never ever complained about shoes." I said, "Ya Allah, maybe I don't have shoes, but at least you gave me feet. There are people who don't even have feet." So there are some, we are being tested in some way or the other. So nevertheless, the person is Ahle Dil, the person who is a person of heart. Now that person who is Ahle Dil, you will find that there is a different kayfiyat. He's got the ishq of Allah Ta'ala. Shah Abdul Ghani Pulpuri Rahmatullah Aliti said that when he used to start his khutbah, when you say Alhamdulillah Nahmadu, when he would start his khutbah, and in the khutbah, as soon as the name of Allah Ta'ala would come, then a tear would come out of his eye and it would just sit there. Such a lover of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, we can't even understand what kind of muhabbat that they have. On one occasion, Hazrat Shah Hakim Akhtar Sahib was sitting in Haram Sharif. And while sitting in Haram Sharif, it was the day of Jum'ah. And whilst they were sitting there, he was just sitting. And then he began to cry. He began to tear. The person, the khadim that was next to him, he said, I noticed this whole thing. He's cried. The Jummah Salah continued. The whole Jummah Salah, he was crying. After the Jummah Salah in his dua, he was crying. He said, that later when we went back to the hotel room, he said, I got some himmat and some courage to ask Hazrat, what happened to you? Why were you crying to that level? What was it that made you cry? So he said, you know, I was sitting in the Haram Sharif and my gaze fell on the mountains that are behind the Haram Sharif. And he said, I thought to myself, my Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was a shepherd. There must have been one day that my Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was walking on this mountain with his flock of sheep. And that thought of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam walking with the flock of sheep, that Ya Allah, I'm looking at the very mountain upon which my Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam may have walked. He said, that feeling of love overwhelmed me and I couldn't control. And he began tearing and crying, ki kaha meri qismat tawaf-e haram. Kaha meri qismat tawaf-e haram, jis zameen par chale the nabi ke qadam. That, oh Allah, where is my good fortune? A filthy, sinful person like myself, I am having the good fortune of placing my feet on that very ground upon which my Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam placed his Mubarak feet. How fortunate I am. So the person who is ashik of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his umrah will be completely different. He will have a different... Many people go for umrah. Some people look at the minarets and look at them, how fancy, you know, calligraphy they got on the minarets. We're not saying we mustn't look at these things. But that's all that you know, overwhelms them. Look at the wonderful lights they got. Check how expensive marble tiles they got. Did you see the calligraphy they got? I want the same one in my house. Make sure you take a picture of it. So that's all that they, you saw the hotel, you saw how you use your card in the hotel, whatever it may be, the person now is focusing on all that things. But the person who's ashik of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he's approaching Madina Sharif, his whole kayfiyah changes. He's looking where is the green dome of my Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Where is it? Ah, there's the green dome. There's my Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The durood and salam automatically comes to his lips. So these couplets are, this is what it is, trying to create the love of Allah in His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hazrat Wala mentions, Ya Subhe Madina, Ya Shame Madina. Ah, the mornings of Madina Sharif, the evenings of Madina Sharif. Where can we ever compare with the morning of any? A person goes to New York and he has the morning of New York, the evening of New York. Can we ever compare the two? How can we say there's a comparison? The morning of Madina Sharif, the person who wakes up, now he thinks to himself, imagine the wahi came down in this Mubarak city. Sahaba-i Kiram sat around the majlis of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The sky and this earth, they witnessed my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he says that, sukoon e jaha tum kaha, this is applicable to us and this is the lesson we can take. Sukoon e jaha tum kaha doon the day ho, that where are you searching for sukoon? Where are you searching for it? Where are you searching for sukoon? You are looking for sukoon, what we term as tranquility. You want tranquility in your life, you want peace in your life, you want contentment. But oh mu'min, oh believer, you are searching for it in the wrong place. Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullahi gives the example of a person who lost a valuable coin. A gold coin, he lost it in his house. So he was outside the house under the street light in the darkness of the night. He was searching frantically for this priceless gold coin. Somebody passing by saw him. He said, brother, what is wrong? What happened? He says, I'm very, very parishan. I lost a gold coin, very, very expensive gold coin. So he says, brother, can I help you? He says, yes, if you can help me, I'd really appreciate it. Now they're both searching, two people searching for a gold coin. I can't seem to find the gold coin. Now the person said, brother, where exactly did you lose the gold coin? Was it on this side of the pole, that side of the pole? He said, no, I lost it in the house. I lost it inside the house. He said, if you lost it inside the house, why are you searching for it under the street light? He said, no, the light is very bright here, that's why I'm searching here. So it's a humorous story, but the lesson is profound. That sometimes we as believers, we think that we're going to find satisfaction, we're going to find happiness, we're going to find that lost treasure where all the glitter and glamour is, where all the lights are dazzling. That's where we're going to find it. But we're never going to find it. The mu'min will carry on searching and searching and searching and you will never find it. There, where it appears to be somewhat darker, appears to be somewhat boring, distasteful, حُجِبَتِ النَّارُ بِالشَّهَوَاتِ وَحُجِبَتِ الْجَنَّةُ بِالْمَكَارِهِ. That outwardly, to wake up in the morning for Fajr Salah is somewhat difficult. Now, to stand 20 rakats Salah is somewhat difficult. But when you will engage in that, that is where you're going to find that lost treasure. That is where you're going to find that sukoon. That is where you're going to experience that tranquility within your heart. Allah Ta'ala will give you such sukoon in your heart. So He says, sukoon e jaha tum kaha dun dete ho. Sukoon e jaha hai nizam e Madina. In the way of Madina, in the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in implementing the ways and the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not only the dressing. Sometimes so much of emphasis in the external that you must make sure you wear the long kurta and not the short kurta. There's so much of emphasis in the external and no real emphasis on the internal. Hazrat Mohinu Sahib Rahmatullah used to say that first of all, we cannot even say that 100% the kurta that you are wearing, this was exactly the kurta of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's no real authentic narration that we can have a sanad and chain and say that this was the kurta of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What we can say, it is the libas of the saliheen, the libas of the pious. But sometimes so much of emphasis on that, the turban must be like this, or one tail, or two tails, or this. More important than all of that, we're not saying we mustn't work on the external. But sometimes so much of emphasis on the external, and no emphasis on the internal whatsoever. So the internal sunnats of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What about the kindness of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What about the loving nature of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What about the consideration of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What about the generosity of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What about the fulfillment of the promises of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? That person, he promised to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on a certain place, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam waited for 3 days until the person eventually came. Here you will find the person wearing kurta topi, and he's wearing the kurta according to how his sheikh must. Said he must wait. The tailor was told 100% make sure it is this size. and it's exactly this measurements as the Sheikh had said. But then when it comes to his business transactions, I'll pay you, you know, I'll do the EFT tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes. Tomorrow never comes. No EFT. EFT comes, nothing. Oh, I forgot. That sunnah, then we abandon that one. And that one sometimes even more important as far as entering into Jannah, because huququllah, Allah can overlook. But huququl ibad, violating the rights of the next person, that is even more critical and crucial. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. So Nizam-e-Madina is not only confined to our kurta and the external and the beard. We must keep the beard also. And other people go to the other extreme. They say, Maulana, what's the point keeping the beard when you see that person in the first surf? He's in the first surf and he got a full beard and he's committing all the sins. That's why I don't keep the beard. So the question that you say to that person, okay, brother, did the beard command him to commit the sin? Did the beard tell him to commit the sin? Why are you blaming the beard for it? It's not the beard's fault that he committed the sin. There are many people who don't have beards and they're committing the sins. Then you don't say that that person doesn't have a beard and he's committing a sin, so let me rather keep a beard. That is just an excuse people use. So you should rather say that he is committing one sin that I know, but I'm committing two sins then. There are other sins that I am committing. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to both internalize and externalize the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he says that the person who goes to Medina Sharif, Ummat-e Nazar, Ihtiram-e Medina, that when the person goes to Madinatul Munawwara, there should be Ihtiram, there should be respect for Madinatul Munawwara. Not that the person goes there and he's committing such sins. That is why some of the Ahlullah and some of the Mashayikh, they used to say to the people that before you go to Kaabatullah Sharif, first learn about Rabbul Bayt. First come and sit in my sohbat and learn about Rabbul Bayt before you visit the Kaabatullah Sharif. And then only they would allow them to go. Otherwise the person would go, the one person came and narrated a dream to our late Mayunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. So Hazrat told him, Bhai, you sure you want me to interpret the dream? He said, Gee Hazrat, it's worrying me. He said, the dream indicates that you've committed zina and adultery in Medina Sharif. So the person looked down, he said, Maulana, it's true. So the person, la hawla wala, Allah ta'ala forgive him and Allah ta'ala protect us. But imagine now the person who went right to the city of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and there he committed such a major crime. And we know these things are happening and it's gone even worse now. Now things have opened up and we've heard that the fitnas have intensified. So a person when he goes to Medina Sharif, he must always have that ihtiram that I am now in the city of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One buzruk, it is mentioned. The one buzruk was living in Medina Sharif. And he started complaining about the sour milk of Medina Sharif. That night he saw in a dream, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam telling him that if you don't like my sour milk of my city, get out of my city. Go, move from here. So imagine, the person just showed some disrespect. Of course, his maqam was much higher. Hasanatul Abrar Sayyiatul Muqarrabin. Some of the very pious people, their small mistakes that they make, they get taken to task. It's like the example of a big son and a small toddler. So the small toddler brings a glass of water. Father says, I want a glass of water. So that 3-4-year-old child comes with the water and while walking, spills half the water all over the show. Now he presents that cup to the father. The father will say, MashaAllah, Shabash, my son, you brought the water all the way. Yet the father can see half the water is on the floor. Father overlooks it. Now the eldest son who's 12, 13, 14 years old, now he brings the water and he drops it all over the show. The father will say, you can't walk straight. You're not focusing. How are you bringing the water like this here? Look at the mess you made. Quickly go and bring it and clean it up here. So now outwardly it looks like both is unfair to the children. The one son is of a much higher level. The other one is much younger. So sometimes the Ahlullah, their maqam is much higher. And their small mistakes that they make, they get taken to task very severely. So nevertheless, that is a separate topic. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us. This is something that we must make an effort to acquire. That love for Allah, that love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wallahi, our ibadat will have a completely different flavor. Completely different flavor. Nevertheless, coming back to a little bit of muraqabah maut. For tonight being the 27th night, I don't know, mashallah, there seems to be a lot of talab in the crowd. You know, sometimes it is not us, but it is the crowd, the sincerity with which the crowd comes, that Allah Ta'ala makes us say certain things. The other day somebody sent a message that Maulana, we were just discussing something, and women folk were just discussing something, and in that very next program Allah Ta'ala made it such that we mentioned that in the bayan. One place we went and gave a bayan, so that after the bayan one brother phoned me, said, Maulana, I got in a bit of a problem. I said, what happened? He said, now my bosses and all of them were there. They phoned me, they said, Did you tell Maulana what happened? Because Maulana spoke about the whole thing in the bayan. So he said, wallahi, I didn't tell Maulana anything. I didn't tell him anything. So I said, bhai, I don't even know what problem you have. Allah Ta'ala, whatever He makes us say. So sometimes the people who are coming there, they come with some talab, and Allah Ta'ala puts it in the heart of the speaker. For the benefit of the crowd, for the benefit of the people, this is Allah's way of giving you hidayat. Allah Ta'ala is putting it on the speaker's tongue to give the person hidayat. That now is the time to change your life. Your life is melting away like a block of ice on a sunny day. Is it not time now that you develop the love of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? You have love for this world. You have love for the glitter and the glamour of this world. What about the love for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So anyway, Khaja Aziz al-Hasan Mazub rahmatullahi alayhi says, Nafs aur shaitan hai khanjar dar baghal, war hone ko hai ae ghafil sambal. He says, oh heedless one, this ghaflat that we have, that we are completely heedless of the hereafter. We've become so intoxicated, and I include myself in this. Remember, I'm not here to give, you know, to shout anyone. I'm addressing myself firstly, and this is we are reminding each other. The speaker is more in need of it than anyone else. That we have become so ghafil, we have become so heedless. We listen to the tilawat of the Quran Sharif, we listen to the programs, we mentioning these things. But how much of it has really affected our hearts? So he says, "Ey ghafil, O heedless one, do not let these enemies of nafs and shaitan overwhelm you. Remember, it is like the knife that is under your arm. That knife will soon stab you, from behind your back. And we had explained yesterday as well, that when we sit in these programs, the month of Ramadan comes, fasting, we get our nafs under control. It gets under control. But don't ever for a second think that this nafs has been tamed. This nafs is not tamed. You know, some people keep lions as pets. Whether it's permissible or not, that we should ask the muftis. But anyway, the person keeps the lion as a pet. Many of them, you will ask them, they got it in the back of their mind. That this lion any time could turn against me. And the person is wary, he's very cautious. One person I met, so he was a snake catcher. So he's telling me that he keeps the snakes in the back of his house. So I said, why you keep in the back of it? He said, no, every day I go, or so many times a week I go and I handle the snakes. And he explained to me that, you see, that each snake has got a different behavior. Some of them are neurotoxic and that toxic, and I don't know how toxic they are. But anyway, some of them that have got certain venom, they behave in a certain way. So he said that if you catch the one snake from the tail, it'll turn around and bite you. But yet another snake, if you catch it from the tail, it becomes completely helpless. So you have to keep yourself in tune with the behavior of the snake. So he says, every now and again I go and handle that snake, and I make sure so that I'm always wary. So that person who's dealing with snakes, he's always on edge, that at any moment the snake could strike. He's on edge. The person who's keeping a lion as a pet, he knows that any time this lion can turn against me. The one person, he kept a lion on the lighthearted note. The brothers are looking a bit tired, so we must make them laugh a little. The person kept a lion as a pet. So there were some guests came to visit him. The mehman didn't know now this person. He forgot. Normally you tell the person, don't stress, I got a lion here in the house. It's a pet. So he forgot to tell the guest that he had a lion. So anyway, that mehman gave him a room. He slept inside. A late portion of the night, he needed to go to relieve himself. So when he got up from the bed, he saw these two shining things that were there in the room. So he switched on the light. When he switched on the light and he saw the lion, so that masala of the toilet got solved there and then. There was no need now to sort, that the solution to the problem was sorted on the bed. So the person who keeps a lion as a pet, he's always on edge that this lion can attack me at any moment. And he's probably got plan B and escape, or maybe he's even keeping a gun there in case. In the same way, we have got this enemy that is within us, our own nafs. And this nafs can attack at any time. You got it under control now. But as soon as it gets some enjoyment or some taste of that pleasure, like that lion now sees that meat and it's hungry, and then it forgets the owner too sometimes. The owner tries to stop it and even injure the owner in the process. So that nafs now, when it gets a little bit of, you know, experience of the old sin that it was involved in before, then that nafs will floor you. And the person, you know, as we say, falls hook, line and sinker and gone back into that sin. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. So we should never ever trust this nafs. There's so much more that could be said. And there's a flood of thoughts that is coming now. But we have to also understand that the brothers need to rest. May Allah Ta'ala accept whatever little ibadat we've done. And those brothers who can sacrifice more time, or even if we rest now and we wake up a little early for sehri, 2 rakats, 4 rakats of tahajjud, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shed these tears of regret and remorse. They're extremely precious in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On one occasion, Jibreel al-Islam came with a bowl of liquid to Rasulullah s.a.w. and he mentioned to Nabi Kareem s.a.w. that these are the tears of the sinners. He says, do you know how effective and powerful these tears are? It has the power and potential to extinguish the fire of Jahannam. So these tears of regret and remorse that we shed before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't underestimate them. Don't underestimate them. So imagine if these tears can shed and extinguish the fire of Jahannam, inshallah these tears, if it goes on our bodies, inshallah it will protect us from the fire of Jahannam.
اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك أو كريم رحيم الله except whatever little ibadat we have done, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, the du'as, the tears of regret and remorse, Ya Allah, you accept it, Ya Allah. Make us yours and become ours, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with your love and the love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fill our hearts with the love for deen, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, bless us, Ya Allah. Pull us towards you with your power of jazb, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, if tonight is the night of Qadr, oh Allah, we beg you and beseech you, innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anna. Oh Allah, forgive us, Ya Allah. Overlook our weaknesses and our shortcomings, Ya Allah. Make us yours and become ours, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, protect us, Ya Allah. Give us barakat in our homes, in our families, in our wealth, in our businesses, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, protect us, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, change the condition in this country from instability to stability, from insecurity to security, Ya Allah. You grant us protection, protect us, protect our lives, protect our wealth, protect our children, protect our homes, protect our properties, our assets, Ya Allah. Fallahu khayrun hafidhu wa hu arhamur rahimeen. Grant us mukammal protection, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, protect us from the fasad of the mufsideen, Ya Allah, from the hasad of the hasideen, from the shirr of the shirdeen, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, oh Allah, grant us, Ya Allah, all the goodness that my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, Ya Allah, bless it, bless us with it, Ya Allah. Whatever he sought protection from, Ya Allah, protect us, Ya Allah. Inna Allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala al-Nabi, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Oh Allah, accept all the programs that are taking place, Ya Allah, make it a means of hidayat and guidance, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, this musalla, Ya Allah, keep it alive till the day of Qiyamah. Make it a sadaqah jariyah for all those who have made effort to establish it, to keep it abad, to assist in whichever way it may have been, Ya Allah. Make it a markaz of hidayat, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, blow the winds of hidayat from here in all our masajid, our madaris, Ya Allah, accept, Ya Allah. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifoon, wa salamun ala al-mursaleen, walhamdulillah.